So often as we appear in the presence of God, it is almost overwhelming when we realize that the mighty God, the everlasting Father, has been watching and waiting today with angels to complete more of the path and the power. And so we are going to work with what God wants us to do. And so tonight I'd like for us to pray for those that are in need. I'd like for you to be praying for my brother-in-law, Burdell Webb. His sister passed away, and the funeral is this weekend. We need to pray for Charlie and Velma Whitley, very sick in the ICU. Jeff Duncan, Nell Thompson, it's so great to see you here tonight. Her brother James Finch passed away, and we need to be praying for that family. Brittany Wise tore some ligaments in her knee. Cindy Crawford has vertigo. Sing Hood has been doing well today, and we want to continue to pray for them. Rodney and Pam Pollard have been diagnosed with cancer. Rodney has. Chris Ferris, the second and third degree burns, are going to be taken care of with some surgical work on Monday. Lynn, our, has blood clots in her legs and needs a wonderful touch of the Spirit. Sister Formby, I talked to her today, and matter of fact, just a little while ago, and she's quite strong, but the things that she went through in that wreck just really have been strong against her body and nerves. And so let's pray for her and those with the family. Prissy Clark, Brother Bob's daughter, just diagnosed with cancer, and some of you probably do not realize how much money that she has poured into this church the last several years. And Mia Bell Bratcher, undiagnosed stomach pain. She's very sick. And Charlotte Murray still needs a touch of God. Geraldine Osmus, I see her here tonight, and what a thrill. Still needs a touch of the Lord. And as we stand together, I'd like for us to continue to pray for all the requests that comes up on the overhead as well. And moving forward is one of the things that we want God to help give us the boldness and the strength to march in to the territory where the spirits of dark angels have been working against people moving forward. And so we want to take light. And so I would like for us to pray for the passion and the burden to help get that done. The nation of Israel and all of our leaders, economical, political, social, when I hear some of the news media and I read some of the news media, if I didn't have God, it would scare me for sure. But He told us, evil men shall wax worse and worse. Darkness shall cover the face of the earth. That's why we want to do everything we can to keep prayed up, a current with the Word of God, walking in the Spirit. And so tonight, if you have a need in your body, we have men from this church that would be glad to walk down here. Some of our ladies would be glad to join. And we are going to pray where two or three agree as to touch in any one thing in my name with faith, believing it shall be done of me, He said. And so we want to march right into that triumphant level. So if you have a need in your body and you're here tonight, please feel free to come. Or if you would like for somebody to come to you, just raise your hand and sort of wave it. There's going to be a lot of people lifting their hands praying. So right now, let's go to the throne room. Father, We are convinced that you are our healer, that you are our deliverer, that you have all power in heaven and in earth. And you have heard these names. You are currently updated on the needs. And I bring a curse against the powers of hell. And I bring the spirit of liberty and healing and victory to those who receive by faith the prayer of faith. In the name of Jesus.
And honor and glory and power.
seated. I'd like for us to be thinking at each day of the ladies' conference in Mesquite. And if you have time to drive over there, I think that they may still can give you a place there. So that's in Mesquite. And it's going to be great. The 14th is Youth Sunday. The 23rd, Tuesday night, is a church business meeting. And if you need to know about your voting, please feel free to call the office, and one of the secretaries will help get you some paperwork if you're not sure about that, because we don't want anybody to be embarrassed. The 28th, our mission pledge is due. The 29th is Ladies United Fellowship, and that will be at the Bratchers with Sister Amanda Little speaking. And I can assure you that is going to be good. The sign-up sheet is in the foyer. Mother's Memorial Pledge Cards. Offering is due July the 1st.
Who else can touch my heart like you do?
God bless you as you're seated tonight. Talking with God recently, it was just a wonderful thrill. And I know He already knows how sacrificial and how giving that most everybody that attends church here, and how kind they are to our city and others. And I was just telling Him how much I thought you appreciated His geniality in helping us to have that kind of temperament and motivation, etc. And I know He didn't speak in an audible voice, but you could just sense that His spirit was pleased that you have been helping people that really didn't call you and ask you to help them, but you've just been kind and nice and offered them the spiritual fruit that they need. And So I just sort of had a blast thinking about it with the Lord. So tonight, I'd like for us to go as far as we can in some areas here. I'm just really excited about what the Lord has really conveyed to me about this assembly and our ability, which is vast, and that ability to communicate the Word of God. The Bible says things about that. So did that come out all right? I'm going to put a little bit up here on the board tonight, but mainly I'm just going to be trying to say some things that will plant, water, and produce the environment for the revival that God wants to give this city. And I'd like for us to be one of the foundational and positional people in that. So I want us to go to the scripture and Psalms 23. It's not a new place, but I want us to sense a whole lot of that chapter as we move through this, because the scripture in 1 John 5:13, this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His word, His will, that He, through us, would perform that wonderful thing. I thought it unusual today as I was looking for sort of a diamond in the rough, a piece of material that I just couldn't seemingly find, and I went to a vintage shop thinking maybe it was there, and I found out that the lady that owned it, her husband was an old friend of mine when years ago when I came here. He's an aviator. And I said, you know what, I tried to find him or talk to him, and I hadn't been able to, but now I know where to go get him. And so it was just really a nice event. But Psalms 23 has such an expansive realization, ability. I don't know how to say it all, but I shall not want. That, I mean, like, how enormous does that get? He maketh me. In other words, He puts the pressure. And if He can't put the pressure on us Himself, He will let that other scripture come to life. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that have come to try you. For when you come forth, you will be better off, or you'll come forth as gold. To me, that invitation to be partner with a problem so I can become more skillful, more alert, more sensitive, more wise. It's so expansive. And so when you begin to experience that, then He maketh me. That sounds like a force deal. He puts things together so that we are pushed, are forced to lie down in green pastures. Well, we understand this is the rest wherein you shall cause the weary to rest. For with a stammering lip and another tongue will I speak to this people. So then we begin to look at that big gaping light that comes flooding into our mind and our heart. He maketh me to lie down in pastures that have growth associated with it. Green pastures. Places that other animals even find solace, strength, etc. And so this Psalms 23 just has really gotten a hold of me. And then He leadeth me beside the still waters, and you remember some of that, because the cattle or the sheep particularly, their nose and their mouth are so close that if the waters are not still, they strangle over the spiritual or the water. We understand that a whole lot of that, water and spirit, are so identified. But the nose and the mouth are so close that the shepherds have to put situations together so that the storm don't drown them. And so he restoreth my soul. Then when he gives me the strength of spirit, then he can lead me in the word or the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so when people see people being led by an invisible spirit and walking the word in their feet, in their voice, in their thought patterns, they use the word of God instead of arguing with people. They use the word of God instead of trying to hurt somebody. And so he leadeth me in the paths of doing it right, for his name's at stake. He wants us to be identifying as a light in a big world that's dark. I don't know how much more he can take watching mothers and dads that are just walking in the dark, trying every kind of thing in the world to get their kids to do right. I'm dealing with people all the time way outside this church family. I just broke down today as I began to work on this, and I got to thinking about this Psalms 23, and I just could hardly contain myself in that. He wants to lead and guide us into all truths, not just a religious system's basic set of scripture. He wants to lead us from Genesis to Revelation. He wants us to study it, not be able to quote a little bit of it, because paths of righteousness are critical to our children and to our neighbors and all the things that he's asked us. So he said, he'll restore us. And though I walk through the valley, how many people do you know that's so afraid of what all's going on in the government, in the financial arena, in the spiritual arena, the destitution, the fornication, the adultery, the hate schemes, all of that, and all of the things that are going on through the valley of the shadow of death? How many marriages have already died? How many child-parent relationships have already died? How many people at the workplace, the owners of companies, have lost so many people because now they're having to hire just about anything to have somebody that's work at the cafeteria or whatever? It's dark out there. It's in the valley of the shadow of death. How many suicides does it take before he has to come on anyhow? He said, I'll cut the day short because I want my bride to get herself ready. I want to retrieve her. I wonder if we could just pray right now. God, help us to really illuminate with joy, peace, and righteousness the real life. Father, as a husband, as a friend, and for sure as a pastor, help me to radiate joy, righteousness, and peace in the Holy Ghost. I cry out for those people that have lost their appetite to really pray 206 religious systems in our American social system. So many of them started out to do something. And I'm crying out, not in a deficit feeling. I feel like we can do it. I'm confident that we can stir up the gifts, the nine fruit of the Spirit, that we can get all that stuff running and fatten up the people in their spiritual relationship. Can we just praise Him for taking special time to hear us? God, thank You for calling us together tonight. Thank You for being willing to be patient for the preacher. I cry out to You, thanks for leading us. I will fear no evil. Pretty much covered that without saying it already, but I'm telling you that fear has gotten so desperate in our communities. I'm not talking about just Lamar County. I'm talking about the world. All you have to do, let me tell you something. I wish you'd pray for me, because I started several weeks ago about working up a paper that is called The Menu of the United Pentecostal Church. I want it to be a menu that they can look on that page and see that we've got what they need, and we'll try to put it together in a simplistic form without having to think they've got to learn all the doctrines and all the disciplines and all of that right up front. But that somehow that we can put a menu together that would be under the heading of righteousness, peace, and joy, but working down from there, those things that would feed their spiritual life. So the writer here is saying, I will fear no evil, because I know You're with me. Wow. That's what the devil needs to hear every morning from God's church, His wife or bride. I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. You gave me my breath. You gave me the ability to work. You gave me the mindset to stack up a little money. You gave me this. You did that for me. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above, the Father, or the source of life. That's big stuff. It's not like, oh, well, you know, take it or leave it, nothing. No, no, no. I will fear no evil, for You are with me. And then that next one, very few of us like that one. But the book says, He chasteneth whom He loveth. Unfortunately, He uses pastors to do a lot of that. That's not fun. Because sometimes people not thinking about it can show a look that's not really pleasing. Thy rod and thy staff, they what? That sounds like the Holy Ghost working. The Comforter, when He comes. And so the Lord uses angels, situations, and pastors, evangelists, prophets, and apostles. He uses all of that to bring about the rod and the staff. They comfort me. In other words, I know I'm loved because my pastor's not willing to let me just be anything I want to be. He tries to help me to stay within the confines of righteousness, peace, and joy. And so I don't get out of bounds, and I don't lose my paperwork in the spiritual, so that when I fall, I know I'm going to be able to get back up, because I'm living in the healing properties. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That whole deal, that Psalms 23 is just so, I mean, all of that faith stuff. I guess I preached to myself more about the faith last week, and I've just feasted on it. I hope y'all have, because it sure was worth it to me to put it together. But tonight, this thing has just overwhelming. And I put the picture there with the sheep and the water, or the river of life and the glory of life. And I put that there just as sort of a silhouette. And he's going to prepare a table before us in the presence of all those enemies. Anger, fear, jealousy, all those works of the flesh. In the presence of every one of them, he's going to get me in a prayer meeting. And he's going to help us have a revival. And he's going to help give the pastor a word. And he's going to help a brother or sister call somebody and say, hey, look, you just can't be affording to get down there like that. You are too valuable. You count big in our world. Get up. Nothing wrong with that, unless you do it in the spirit. I've got a whole thing coming. It's just tearing me up to see the enemy running over so many quality people. And then he said, the anointing is my head. Well, that's my thought patterns come from there. My hearing comes from there. My everything that operates every member of the body comes from my head. Well, that's huge. I need an anointing every day. I can't afford to walk out in carnality lest I hurt or rip or tear down what we built up, he uses that term. It's just so amazing that all in Psalms 23, there is so much depth that my cup runneth over. Wow. In other words, so much goodness and mercy are going to chase me everywhere I go the rest of my whole life. And I will be safe in the presence, the house of God. You've noticed he don't actually have a physical house. It's his presence that is the parameter, called the safety area, the kingdom life. It is right there in that center of his will that the powers of light get darkness out 360 degrees. The power of light chases away the insects or the filthy thoughts or the weak thoughts that would rob us of the ability to chase the devil instead of him chasing us. Could we just do a praise break? Father, I feel your anointing in this house. I feel your glory in this house. What a genuine joy that mercy is going to catch up with me when I get in the bed. And I'm going to remember what I did today and how life went today. And mercy is going to say, hey, look, let me tell you something. You may not have been at your best, but I saw God working with you today, and he is going to have mercy. And mercy is going to come and give you a good night's rest because he saw your desire. Goodness, good things, good thoughts, not wrestling with all kind of morbid thinking of what tomorrow is going to be like, because goodness is going to be there with mercy and saying, look, you may have had a tough day and things may not have gone like you'd have preferred it, but goodness is going to say, good things are coming in the morning. in the morning time, good thoughts are coming because you're going to touch the anchor of your soul. You're going to touch the spiritual arena. And as you touch that spiritual arena, you are going to have good thoughts, and you're going to have good spirits, and you're going to have good day, because good spirits and good thoughts, no matter how many thought, how things go, goodness is going to be there with you. I will dwell in that presence, the house. Somebody say the presence. I've already gotten that up there once, but I want it to really ring a bell. I want to dwell in the house of God, that presence of God. And then I want to gather at the place where the house of God as a physical structure produces worship and praise, and his presence fills the atmosphere in songs and in dance and in shouts. It all is in the book, and that in his house is where miracles are going to take place bigger than we've ever had them happen before. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in line for some of the most stupendous moments in the last days. He said, I will pour out my spirit, and I'd like for this physical house to house the presence of God in such a way that people from all around this county would say, I tell you what I did. I made it to that house when it scared me at first, because I'd never been in a house with such power and such light and such victory and such a strength and all of that. But all of a sudden, I started thinking new thoughts after I went to that house, and I started sensing that maybe I could become somebody, because I know some of the guys that went there when years ago, they didn't have it all together. But I believe I can do that. And that's the house of mercy. That is where the healing begins. That's where the restitution begins. That's where strength begins to exercise itself. So exercising thyself unto godliness in his house doesn't just produce a feeling, it produces a future if we let it. And so I will just go to that house as often as I can. And matter of fact, God turned it around the other way and said, forsake not that house. Because if you can get to the house where somebody's got it stirred up, you can maybe listen to my voice, or maybe I can hear your plea, and we can get that thing worked out. You know what he's doing tonight? I said, do you know what he's doing tonight? He's reaching for Pastor. Wake up, boy. Those are real people. They're going to live forever somewhere. He's reaching for your pastor. Wake up to the possibles. Wake up to the probables. Wake up. There's victory for you and your people. The shepherd of the sheep. But God is reaching down to the sheep himself. It don't all happen. It may happen at, like, I don't want it to sound like I'm bragging about it, because it should be normal. But I'm just telling you, there's not many nights right now in the last many months that he and I haven't had a lot of chatting. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And that got a hold of me about 4 or 5 years ago. And I started praying more about that. And I started thinking more about that. And I thought, my sheep hear my voice and know my voice. If I'm going to be a pastor or under shepherd to people, I better know your voice. Because God loves you. Could you pray for somebody close to you right now? There is an aura in this house. I hope everybody's experiencing that. There is a deep aura of God with healing, with wisdoms, with giftings. The gifts of the Spirit are about to rise up in this assembly like we have wanted it. Halabahanda. If you can pray in the Holy Ghost, this would be a real good time to do it. There is a victory cloud over this place. I can assure you without any question in my mind that that's the picture of God right now reaching to us. Not just us, everybody around here, us. I am telling you, when I was a sinful young boy, he reached after me. His thoughts kept coming up toward me. I wasn't praying. It was just sad where I was. When I was 9 years old, my brother and I had a cussing contest. Yeah. Later I found out the room that we were having that cussing contest with was the pastor's wife was having a sexual affair with a board member in the church. In that room. Angels of darkness lived in that room. You want to know how I lived and found out about all that stuff? I practiced it. I'll tell you one really amazing thing to me. My wife and I were evangelizing. Karonda went over to a table where the pastor was and then visited with them a few minutes. And then on the way home, Karonda said, "Is he a sissy?" He laughed about it. He came to me later and said, she asked him if he was a sissy. Come to find out he was a pervert. Little children. Scared the liver out of me when I found that out. Well, guess who was the one in that room? His mother was the adulteress in which Roger and I had the cussing contest. Don't tell me spirits don't race around and get in places where they have room. That's why we've got to fast and pray and worship like never before, because we don't have time. He said, I'm going to cut it short. I'm going to shorten the days because my elect, I'm not going to let them all lose that. I wish we'd pray right now for every backslider. If you know any backslider that you could call their name, but just canopy the whole idea. God, give us such a passion for backsliders. Give us such a passion for people that have lost their footing. God, don't you let this preacher go to sleep. Don't you let me lose what we've got going. We've got a little bit of something going, and I don't want to give it up. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I bring the blood, I bring the Holy Ghost, I bring the power of the name and the wonderfulness of your word. It's not just a little competition, it is overcoming the world. Let's look a little further here while you're just sort of walking in the Spirit. The same Jesus shall so come in like manner. Just like he's reaching for us tonight, and we are responding to his Spirit tonight, this same Jesus shall come in like manner as you have seen him go. He disappeared, but his Spirit is in us, and it is a synonymous relationship with the source, the Father of life. When you get the Holy Ghost, you don't just become Pentecostal. It's the book says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then he turns over here and says, we are saved by hope. It is magnanimous what's happening in the spiritual world. And it is necessary that we know him in the power of the Holy Ghost and his word. So God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. And Acts 2:36 through 41 are just, where 38 fits right in the middle of there. He did and will come, but he will come as a thief. In a day when the people are not expecting it. So we're not going to live as if he's not coming tonight. He could well come tonight. But a lot of people trying to rush the spiritual program have tried to scare people into it. And way back in the early 50s, there was a huge parade of people that got into Pentecostalism. Way up in the 60s, you would remember that there was the, I can't remember what they called them, but man, these guys would get together and they would put it on TV and they would all just talk in tongues all over. Do you remember that, Brother Dickey? At all? I mean, it was just a parade. And their lifestyle didn't change. They just talked in tongues and went on walking around and shouting and carrying on. But it was just a bunch of talking in tongues. It was amazing to me as I watched that, and I'm thinking, man, they're all fixing to get in the Jesus name outfit. Didn't happen. I'm working on a message right now, and I want you to be praying for it, because the Spirit of Truth, when he comes, he will do the work that we can't do. You talk about a holy revival, it's coming. I may not be here when it gets here, but I'm telling you, he's talked to me about it some of these nights lately. It has just been so magnanimous. The other night, I try to be real still because I write it down, and because, I mean, it's just, I don't want to wake my little lady up. She works so hard for all this, but it's amazing what God's doing. And I'm looking at this stuff, and the world created that picture. That didn't come from a United Pentecostal church. The world, he said, the children of this generation are wiser in their day than the children of light. Well, that's huge. They draw pictures of Jesus and sell them to the Pentecostals. I want him right there in my head. I want a picture of Jesus, nail scars and all. I want a picture of Jesus in my mind, in my heart, in my life. I want his picture in my world, because I saw him the other day and he's in heaven. He got out of that tomb and he said, I'm going to furnish you angels, and I'm going to furnish you wisdoms, and I'm going to furnish you power that the world has not gotten in charge of yet. But my people shall be strong and be of good courage and fear not. So he will come as a thief in the night. So he said, let me tell you what, do just be sensitive enough. If your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. Just be sensitive enough to know about the spiritual, and don't try to get all this done tomorrow. I am sowing seed in our mind and hearts that is going to produce 5 years from now. What God did here Sunday and Sunday night is a phenomenon. One of our saints came up to me and said, that is absolutely phenomenal what God had did this weekend. It's huge. So he said, watch, for you don't know the day nor the hour. So don't take it lightly. Just believe that just any day now. What is that song, Brother Ronnie? Or did I sing it so bad you don't even know, can't recognize it? That's all right. We're just all here together. I'm not bragging on the preacher, and I'm just bragging on Jesus. I'm going to get back to my paper because I'm not going to take this kind of time with you. As a matter of fact, if somebody will come to the organ, I'll be pretty quick with it because I don't want them to have to play the rest of the night or the piano. But trying to figure out what I can rule out. Let's just work this. Jesus, God in the garden, which we've talked about, he lost his lookalikes. Adam and Eve, first Adam was called Adam. Jesus was called the second Adam. Both of them were created by the same Spirit, God created Adam, the first one. And then he impregnated a virgin, and the second Adam was born. But I want to take you back to the two lookalikes, the first Adam and the first Eve. How brokenhearted would you be to create an atmosphere and a setting of perfection? And give the two total control over everything going. And they decided they'd do what they wanted to do. So that's where your pastor is right now. Because God is... reaching. For his lookalikes. In the beginning, God created. And then he formed in the womb of a virgin. A lookalike that became sin. Who knew no sin. He paraded the streets. He healed their sick. He shared wisdoms with them. What these temples were really supposed to furnish. What they were supposed to be doing. They were supposed to praise him for making them look like God. So what do? They want to take a little bite. We have 360 religious systems worldwide. They want to take a little bite of him and make him the whole pie. Just not going to happen. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. How simple does it have to get? That's not hard to understand. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because I've been looking down and I've been praying over you and I've been praying that your troubles would drive you to an anchor. How bad does it? Youth have to get, how bad do they have to get off track before somebody will say, we're going to build a dam. And we're not letting the erosion kill the beauty of holiness. I'm not talking about a few things. I'm talking about purity in the simple plan. That when they see or hear us, they see or hear him. That's holy. Godliness is spiritual wisdoms and how to work them. And so he uses terms like that, but all you have to do is do a simple study of Jesus. He was the mighty God. Isaiah 9:6, I've got it in the papers here, but those little things I put up here for 2 Timothy 2:19, Ephesians 2:20, you may want to write that down, because if you could hear God tonight, he's praying, son, don't you give up on people that you want to see come into the kingdom. Just hang in there. I'm going to give you an anchor of your soul, and the winds of fear and the winds of doubt and the winds of too late and the winds of all that junk that the devil is trying to pour out into our system, it's never too late. I'm one of those that was not too late, and it took years of mother and dad and mother coming over my bed and crying hot tears, and I acted like I was asleep and I was in the den because we had so many girls that we didn't have enough bedrooms to go around. She would lay her hand. I didn't hear all the vocalism, but she would pray, God, this is my boy. I need you to protect him. I can't be with him every day, but I'm praying that the angels, as a result of this prayer, will touch my boy. There's a reason he said, in your patience, you possess your soul. Because Americans want it now. And if we can't get it now, we'll put it on credit and just go ahead and believe that we're going to heaven regardless. That credit plan don't work. It's walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Word. Ingest the Word. Because it will become judge of how you do life. All over the building while she sings, could we just sort of have a private prayer? You may want to whisper it, but could we pray and ask God, send me a personal revival? And I'm doing it out loud, but that's what I'm asking God for, your pastor. If you want to come to the front, please feel free. I didn't mean that you. There's just something about an altar. He is coming. He's coming soon. But that could be 20 years.
I still believe you're moving. I still.
if a brother could find another brother and a sister could find another sister, we can multiply what's happening here tonight. Hallelujah. There is a revival bursting loose.
Everything in your name, my Jesus, this is a house.